This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Series, and so if you missed the first couple of times, you can catch it on our website and just dive into it. We're really looking at who is God? Who is God specifically? Who is the Holy Spirit? And what does that mean for my life? What does that mean for my day-to-day, everyday life? And how can I connect with him? And we're basing on a verse from Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, one of my favorite verses. And it says this, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And we talk about walking with the Spirit, that's a day-to-day, moment-by-moment thing, just being with the Spirit, just listening to the Spirit, understanding who the Spirit is, and then connecting with him at any moment. Like right now, we can do that. And then after church, wherever you choose to go to lunch today, and Panera, let's see, I just lost myself. There, my back, there. If you go to Panera Bread when it opens in February, you can connect with the Spirit there too. It's wherever you go, you can connect with the Spirit constantly, and knowing him and interacting with him is just an amazing thing. And one of the things the Spirit does in our life on a day-to-day basis is give us something called the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what God does in our life to produce inside of ourselves these qualities that make our life better and make our life more enjoyable. And most of us maybe have heard of these, maybe heard them in Sunday school, maybe had to memorize them as a kid, but this series, we're going looking at each one of them. And so let me just read them to you. It's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and it says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all internal qualities, all things that go on the inside of us to make us know him better, but also enjoy life. And today we're going to focus on the second in the list, joy. Now, how many of you guys would rather have more joy in your life than you currently have? Anybody would like to have more joy? Okay, some of you guys are just so full of joy, you can't fit any more in, and I understand that, okay? So for you that are full of joy, you're just going to rub off on the rest of us, and it's going to be great, but we all want more joy in our life. Max Lucado is an author. If you haven't read any of his works, he does some amazing writing. And his latest book he just came out with is called How Happiness Happens. How Happiness Happens. If you would like to have more joy in your life, pick that book up and read it too. But here's some things he found. He said worldwide, in every culture, in every place on this earth, the people's number one goal is to find more happiness. Wherever you are. It's not just an American thing. It's just not our cultural thing. It's everywhere in the world. People are looking for more happiness. Right now at Yale University, the number one class, and it has been the number one class for 300 years, is a class on happiness. If you had to go to school and take a class, wouldn't you like to take one on happiness? I would. I'd like to go do that. Rather, instead of worrying about grades, I'd like to be happier. Joy is something we all crave, and everyone benefits from it. It makes better marriages, right? Think about it. It makes a better marriage. It makes a better workplace. It makes a better church when people are joyful. It makes a better just culture around us when people are joyful. If you've ever been in a place, work, school, wherever, and the people like tear each other down and they talk about each other and it's a very negative place, you know that's no fun and you don't want to be there. But you probably also know places where you've gone where the level of joy is just a little bit higher and you just want to be there. And that's what I think everybody craves is have something like that. A recent study showed that only one out of three Americans are happy. That means two-thirds of you now are looking for happiness. How do I find that? One out of three. And yet we're the most advanced culture that's ever existed. We have more conveniences than any other culture has ever had. And yet we still can't chase down happiness. One out of three is it. That means two-thirds of the people are still looking for it. The World Health Organization has stated that in 2020, next year, that depression will be the second highest cause of disease in the world. Because depression affects everything in us. It affects the way we eat, the way we take care of ourselves, our immune system. It's all that's tied together. And they're saying next year, it will be the second highest cause of diseases in the world. That's pretty tough. Now, they've also said that genetics affect about 50% of our disposition, okay? So how you're born is going to affect how you respond to joy. But 50% is a choice. Now, are there any melancholies out there besides me? Anybody melancholy by personality? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. Some of you are going, I am, but I'm not going to tell anybody, all right? For us melancholies, all right, joy doesn't come easily to us, right? We don't trust it. We don't like it. It's hard for us maybe a little bit. But for other people, you were born joyful, right? Does anybody know someone that was just born joyful? They were a happy baby. They're happy. And don't you hate them? I mean, honest, no, you don't. No, you don't. Only if you're melancholy, you hate them. But we love joyful people. They're a lot of fun to be around because they're just happy all the time. And there's a way to tap into the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about today where we can find some joy, because here's the deal. You could be in the most difficult situation. You could face the most difficult times, and you can still find joy if you have God in your life. You can still tap into that. And that's what we're going to be talking about through this series. There are 2,700 verses on joy and cheerfulness and merriment. And today we're going to look at all 2,700. So are you ready? Okay, you ready? Got your Bibles open? You good with that? We're not going to look at all 2,700. Okay, that'd be too hard. But we're going to look at several of them. And what I want you to do today, if joy is something you want, write down the reference, write down the scripture, let God speak to you and take that home. And this week, meditate on one of those verses and say, God, I want this in my life. And we're going to start with a verse today that is one of my favorites. I learned it as a kid. It's Psalm 118, verse 24 and 25. And it says this: this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're alive. We're here. It's a beautiful day outside. We're around some amazing people. It doesn't get much better than this. But even if it was a tough day, He commands us and tells us, let us rejoice and be glad. Let's do that. Make that choice. And then he says this: save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. So today, before we go any further, we're going to pray that God gives us success in finding joy. Okay, so let me pray for us. But Father, before we go any further, before we look at any more words, before I say anything else, we want to stop and just say, we're looking for you to bring us joy in our life. No matter what we came in with today, maybe anxieties, maybe some stress. Some people may be mourning and grieving. Some people are struggling, Father. Some of us are dealing with depression. And I just pray, Father, in this moment, at this time, that you can speak through that. You can break through and bring us joy in our hearts. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today on your outline, you're going to see we're going to talk about how to find joy, and we're going to talk about two specific places that you can find joy, ways you can experience joy, and we're going to talk about how you can do that in your everyday life. And number one way to find joy that we're going to talk about is found in experiencing the presence, power, and provision of God. If you're looking for joy, then you find it in experiencing the presence, power, and provision of God. He does that by his presence, by his power, and by his provision. It means taking care of us. I don't know if you guys noticed, but it's almost time for Christmas. I was driving last night home from here, and I was going through Bethania, and somebody's window, they had their Christmas tree. Now, some of you say no Christmas celebration until after Thanksgiving, and you're grumps. I just want you to know that. You're grumpy people, all right? You need to get over it. And the people that celebrate Christmas all year long because they can't reach the top of their house to take down their lights, they're awesome, okay? Keep the lights on. Christmas is a great time. We love Christmas, right? Sometimes we love Christmas to go what we're going to get, but I love Christmas, and I think the true understanding of Christmas, we love it. Why? Because Jesus came. And that's something we should celebrate almost every single day, right? The Savior came. There was a group of shepherds, and they were just going through life and doing their thing. And it was an everyday experience for them. And then some angels showed up, and there was no warning to them. And when they saw the angels, they were a bit afraid. And one of them stopped, and he called out to him, and this is what he said. He said to him, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a little joy, a tiny joy." A poquito joy for those Spanish speakers, right? That's not what it says. What does it say? Great joy that will be for all the people, everybody all over. Why? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Why do we wait just for Christmas to celebrate that? That's an everyday truth. That's an everyday understanding that the Savior of the world has come. And he lived on this world for 33 years, and then he gave his life for us. But before he did that, he called his followers together and said, "Look, guys, I'm going to be leaving. and I got to go. And when he told them that, there was sorrow and there was grieving. And they go, why? You know, what's going to happen to us? And they were afraid. And he says, look, I've got to go. I've got to go because if I don't go, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And this is a verse we looked at a couple of weeks ago that really helped us understand who the Holy Spirit is. It's in John chapter 14. Jesus explained to him, I've got to go. You had great joy when I came. I'm getting ready to leave. And he says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And that word helper is something we're going to come back to at the end. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus is saying, I've got to go. If I don't go, the Spirit can't come. When the Spirit comes, he's going to live within you. See, the number one present that we should get at Christmas is the presence of God. The number one present we receive is the presence of God in our life. The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to come into you. When you believe in me, when you give your life to me, the Spirit will come and live within you, and you have access to joy at any time. You don't have to wait till Christmas. You can have the presence of God, and he's feeding you joy, and he's building in you joy, this fruit of the Spirit that we call joy because of the presence of God in our life, and that's huge. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 16:11. It says this, speaking of God, he says, you made known to me the path of life. The Spirit directs us. He shows us the way to live, how to go, where to experience him more, how to navigate life. But then he says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. I love that phrase. Not just a little bit. Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. At your right hand are pleasures. We're not talking about worldly kind of things there that just last for a moment. We're talking about lifetime kinds of things, eternal kind of things that God brings into our life through the Spirit to bring us an everlasting joy, to be filled with joy, absolutely filled with it. Now, some of us out there, you've experienced joy like this. Your face is light up. Your just eyes light up, and you just smile, and that's huge. For the melancholies in the world, they don't necessarily do that. What do? You typically cry, maybe, tears of joy. Sometimes you're quiet in your joy. It's okay when we worship together, how you experience joy is between you and God, and how you experience joy at any given moment is between you and God, but this is joy, it's this feeling inside that we get from the presence of God in our life and his pleasures. There's a verse I've been praying over bridges for about a year and a half. God just kind of stopped me on it. I wrote it on a card, and I've been praying this over the church, Psalm 68, verse 3. It says, but let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. One of the things we hope for you as you came into the parking lot, I hope there were greeters out there. I hope that you experienced joy when you got there, and I hope that you experienced joy when you came in. And for some of you, I hope you experienced it when you got that cup of coffee that you had to have this morning, right? We stick it in the corner so you can draw you into the building. You got to keep going because you can smell it, right? And you people that have to have your coffee, you get that and you go, there's some joy right there. And I think there's donuts today, right? Why are there donuts? It's not because you need them. They're not good for you, right? They're actually not good for you. But why? It's just part of the joy of life. And we want you to come in here and experience joy. And we want you to meet some people. And you go, man, I just felt joy. I just felt joy. Because that's what God does. He puts joy in our life. Now, why don't we experience joy all the time? Well, there's some reasons why we may not experience joy. One of them is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says this, do not quench the Spirit. There's sometimes we just don't trust joy. We just don't trust it, and we don't want it sometimes. Why not? I think sometimes we just want to control stuff. I feel bad, and I want to feel bad, right? You ever felt that way? I feel bad, and I want to feel bad, so I'm going to control it. I'm going to hang on to it, and we're kind of quenching the Spirit. Sometimes we feel like if I feel good, something bad's going to happen. Have you ever heard that phrase before? The shoe's going to drop, you know that? Things are going well, but it's not going to last. Something bad's going to happen at any moment. So we go about life going, I'm not going to feel good because as soon as I do, something bad's going to happen. I don't want that. So I'm just going to feel bad all the time and then I'll get worried about it. We feel that way sometimes. We do. But yet, God wants us to have that joy. He says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. When I was a kid in my house, I have three siblings, and one of the things we had to do was put the hose out in the yard to water the grass, right, when the rain doesn't come. And so you'd run the hose out there, and whoever had it would go up there and hook it up to the sprinkler, And then you would turn the hose off, on. You turn the water on, right? Now, what do, your siblings? You guys are evil like I am. What'd you do to your siblings? You grabbed the hose and you quenched it, right? You shut it off until they did what? Till they picked it up to look at it. Then what'd you do? You let it go and it shot them in the face and you had joy and they were mad, right? You did. Anybody else do that besides me? I'm the only evil one. There's some more evil people. We do that, right? What does that mean? It's quenching the spirit in the idea, right? You're quenching the water. We do that with the Holy Spirit sometimes. We say, look, I don't think I want to feel good. Or I think you're trying to give me joy, but I'm a little afraid of it. I don't want that to happen. So we kind of hold it. And God says, don't do that. Because I want you to enjoy life. I want you to have joy. And we get it from the presence of God. The second thing we get is from the power of God brings joy, doesn't it? It's on that thing, provision of God, power of God, presence of God. The Holy Spirit always comes with power. Jesus said when he comes, he's going to come with power. And it's going to be life-transforming power. In Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, Paul's writing about that. He says, I want you to know what kind of power you have inside of you because you have the Holy Spirit. This is what he wrote. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in. The power that created the universe. The power that created the most majestic thing you've ever seen. The power of Jesus Christ is within you. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. One of the truths of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died and he went into the grave and he was dead. That's a fact. That's a truth. The truth is also the same Jesus rose from the dead. He was resurrected. And here's the mystery of the gospel. That power is in you. That same power is in you because you have the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Sometimes we go through a period of life where inside we die because of grief, because of mourning, because of suffering, chronic pain, because someone we know has taken a path and we watch that. We can't stop them. We can't help them. Inside it just kind of feels dead. Sometimes that happens in a marriage, doesn't it? It just feels dead and you don't think you can get that life back. And maybe you've been through a period of time where this has gone on for a long time, where there's just no joy inside. And sometimes we just kind of give up hope, don't we? God's reminding us inside of you is the power to bring life into it. It may feel dead, but God says, I can bring life. Jesus had a friend named Lazarus who died, right? And then after 4 days, he called him out of the grave. And I think sometimes God does that with us. You've mourned long enough. There is a period of mourning. There is a time of sadness. And then he begins to draw us out. He says, I have power to bring new life into you where you can experience joy in a whole new, deep, deep way. And we just walk with him through that. I think that's what it means to be in step with the Spirit, to walk with the Spirit. He begins to add joy into our life through that power. So there's God's presence that brings us joy. There's God's power that brings us joy. But there's also God's provision that brings us joy. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, as for the rich in this present age, which is probably everybody in the room, because we represent the richest country in the world. He says, look, I want you to charge them not to be haughty. There's a great word, isn't it? Nor to be set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with what? Everything to enjoy. He wants you to enjoy it. I think sometimes we look at God and go, look, I'm having a good time. And God looks down, you're going to have a good time. He goes, stop it. And he stomps us, right? He doesn't want us to do that. But that's not the truth. God wants us to enjoy him and everything he gives to us. This past Tuesday, our family went to the Daniel Boone Inn in Boone. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's $20 a person. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's worth every bit of it. It's not healthy for you. I'm just going to share you some news. And you go there, and it's family style, and it's all the fried chicken you can eat, and all the country steak you can eat, and all the country biscuits. Am I making you hungry yet? That's my goal here, right? All the country biscuits you can eat, green beans, applesauce, corn, desserts. I mean, you have to not eat for 2 days before you go, and you just eat everything in the world that you can. And I sat there at their table and just go, man, God, thank you for this. I'm enjoying this meal, and I enjoyed being with my family. Then we went out on the parkway, and the leaves were turning, and you could see forever, and you could see the mountains. And God said, I gave you this to enjoy it. I gave you this to enjoy it. And this morning, I got up, and I ate oatmeal, okay? oatmeal is not the same thing as fried chicken and all that stuff. But I took a moment and just said, God, I'm enjoying this moment. I'm enjoying this moment. Everything God has made is for our enjoyment. Did you ever think about that? I think God sits back like a parent does at Christmas when you give that kid, that child, that present they asked for, and they've been hinting at it day after day, and they open it, and they finally get to see it, and they go crazy, and they run around, and they play with the box for the next 6 months, right? But they love that, right? For the parents, like, oh, wow, that was great. For God, I think every time we stop and enjoy, he says, that's exactly why it's here, exactly why I gave it to you. God wants to provide us with what we need. In John 16, 24, Jesus put it this way. He says, until now to his followers, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Why? That your joy may be full. He says, when you don't have something, ask. And I'm not talking about a Lamborghini or a Bugatti or whatever it may be. I'm talking about the things that are important in life. God, I need love. I need someone to love me. I need joy. I need peace. I need patience. I need those qualities in my life. I need to know that you're there. And God says, just ask. Just ask, and I will give it to you. When you do it in Jesus' name, and you do it with the right heart, it says your joy may be full. When you're anxious, you know what God does? He wants to give you something. Psalm 94, verse 19, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. That may be a verse for you today. If you came in anxious today, worried about something, write that reference down and say, God, I need your consolation. I need your comfort. I need to hear your words in my life. I need your promises because I want your joy. When you need guidance, when you need direction, God provides that. Psalm 119, verse 14, this is the author of Psalms, said this, I rejoice in following your statutes. I rejoice in following your word as one rejoices in great riches. Why? Because chaos is tough and lack of direction is tough and not knowing the way to go in life is tough. But when God shows you in the word, do this and live this way, it gives you the joy that you're looking for. Today, I want to read another verse that I discovered just this week. It's in Habakkuk. Did you know that Habakkuk is in your Bible? Did you know that? Did you ever read Habakkuk? He's a minor prophet. It doesn't mean he's short, okay? It's his book is a little shorter. But there's some real truth in Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, about joy, he writes this. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Modern translation may be, even though I lost my job, even though my bank account is small, even though I just broke up with someone, even though there's no gas in the tank, even though I just failed a test, I will still rejoice in my God because he's my Savior. Strip everything else away. Take away everything else. Just give me Jesus, and I have joy. And I love that because that's the real truth of what God wants to do in our lives. It's about his presence and his power and his provision in our life, and that's where we find joy. The second place we find joy on your outline, number two, joy is found in serving others. Joy is found in serving others. So often we think, hey, joy is just something I have to do for myself. Joy is something I have to discover myself. In our culture, it says this, that joy happens when you get, right? Joy happens when you get something. I just got something. I feel joy. In the kingdom of God, happiness and joy happens when we give of ourselves. We give of ourselves. So often in church, Acts 20, verse 35 is a verse that's used to talk about giving, but I think it's giving in a different way. Luke writes this. He says, in all things, I've shown you that by working hard in the way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Notice the context. When you help the weak. Often we lose our joy because we're focused on what we don't have. We focus internally, what I'm missing, what I would like to have but I don't. We begin to focus on our own problems. You ever notice the more you focus on your problems, the more depressed you get? What God's saying is kind of turn that around. Let's flip it. It's more blessed to give of yourself than it is to receive. The word blessed there is a Greek word. It's the word makarios. Anybody know anybody named Mark? Their name means blessed. And what blessed is this word that's it's a Christian word, right? We use it constantly at church, but what does it mean? It means supernaturally happy. Some of your versions will say happy. It's supernaturally happy that God blesses you. You're fortunate because God has had his hand on you. He's doing something in your life. That's what the word blessed means. And he's simply saying, when you give of yourself, then you're blessed. You're blessed. Jesus, in his life, was someone that was full of joy. Always had joy. He was a man of sorrows, but he also understood joy. And because he understood joy because he was a servant. He says of himself in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." He said, "I just serve people. It's what I do." And because of that, he had joy. And he says, you can find that same joy in yourself. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11 say this, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another." That's what they're there for. God gives to you so you can give to others. And when you do that, you experience joy. They did MRI studies of people. And one of the things they did, they said, when you think about giving, let's see what happens in your brain. And they checked people's brains in the pleasure center of their brain, the same place that lights up when you're eating a Krispy Kreme donut, okay? That same place that lights up. When you think about giving, it lights up. You are hardwired to serve other people. Dopamine is formed in your brain when you serve unselfishly, when you do that thing that no one sees. Peter goes on to write, he says, "Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies, and everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Use what you have to serve other people." Max Lucado writes about a woman named Patty who he knew and whose mother had a stroke. And Patty's mom's stroke caused her to be unable to speak, and they had to put her in an assisted care living place for a while. And her mom had been a person who had served all her life, and she got in the assisted living place, and she stopped eating, and she was unable to sleep, and she was not unable to explain what was wrong. But Patty had a suspicion that because she had no purpose, because she had nothing to do with her time, that she was suffering from depression. So she helped her mom get into a wheelchair, and she took her from room to room. And what her mom did was she would place her hand on the hearts of the other residents, and she would pray silently because she couldn't voice it. And she would just stay there for a period of time, and when she removed her hand, her daughter would take her to the next room and to the next room until they'd gone over the whole place, and she'd prayed over them. And that night, she ate her full dinner, and that night, she slept peacefully because she now was serving others. We need that to experience joy in our lives. One of the greatest things that you and I can do is encourage people. It's a great way to serve. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Don't you want to be around encouraging people? People who build you up and not tear you down. They said in a healthy marriage, there are 5 positives for every negative. That's what makes it positive, healthy marriage. Now, you could take out completely the negative one, right? That'd be okay. But 5 times to 1. High-performing teams, they looked at those and said, well, what makes them high-performing? There were 6 positives for every negative. Low-performing teams was flipped. 3 negatives for every positive. You ever been in a place where all they did was tear you down? You ever had a job where the only thing you heard from your boss was, you're not doing it right? Ever had a teacher that just focused on the mistakes that you made? Ever had a coach do that? Ever had a parent that told you you weren't good or that you weren't measuring up and that's all you ever heard and it just stills the joy? The way you can flip that is by being an encourager in your life. Create a family that does that. Create an atmosphere that does that. Create a church that does that. We're just helping one another. We're serving. I want to end with a verse that this part, and just is a great verse, it's Jesus, and it's Luke 6:38, and he says this, "Give and it will be given to you. Give to other people, and it'll come back to you. But it's going to come back a little different. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Again, a lot of times we use that as a giving verse, but it's not. It's a verse about giving your life. Give your life to other people. Give your joy to other people. Let them experience God's joy in you and then see what it does back. God will give it back to you beyond. Max Lucado says this, doing good does good for the doer. It's what gives us joy. When you encourage someone, the biblical word for encouragement is a Greek word. It's para kaleho. Para means to be beside or alongside, and kaleho means to call out. You're walking with someone and you're just calling out to them. You know what the word for helper, when we read that before about the Holy Spirit, you know what word that was? Parakaleo, exactly the same word. When you go through life, step by step in the Spirit, his role in our life is to simply walk with you and encourage you and give you joy and tell you things like it's going to be okay, that God can make good come out of this, that everything I've given you is for your encouragement, that I am here in my presence to give you joy. There's power for you to have joy, and I will provide for you to have joy. It's the role of the Holy Spirit. And today I want to pray for us today, wherever you may be in this role of joy in your life, that God will give you more and more, that you won't have to wait till Christmas to experience joy, that it starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to say, Jesus, I want you in here, or I want more of your Spirit in me because I'm not experiencing the joy I want. So today as we pray, just wherever you are with joy, let's just pray and put into his hands. So let's pray together. Father God, as we close out this part of the service, we do ask you for more joy. Not because we deserve it, but because you're a merciful and great God who desires us to be joyful. And the number one place it comes from is a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us that we might live. Who even now may be calling to some in this room saying, I want to have a relationship with you. And maybe today's that day where someone says, I want you. I want your forgiveness. I want your grace. I want your mercy. I want you to be in charge of my life. I'm tired of doing it myself. And today, by faith, I ask you to come into my life. And if that's you today, we just pray for you to make that decision and help you walk through that. And for others here that know Jesus, we pray today that you just fill us with joy. Fill us with your Spirit. May we be a joyful people that impact the people around us. Give us joyful families. May joy enter our workplaces and our schools. May we experience joy in greater fullness. We thank you for Jesus, who is the source of our joy. We pray this in his name. Amen.